Good morning, all. Good to see you in a smiling mood. Yes. Arms for the poor. All right, hope you all had a good week, as always. We'll get to some prayer requests. Hey.
Hey, quiet over
women,
there.
Women are to be silent in the church.
No.
All right, now I got to change it.
We're going. New lesson plan, Mark.
We're going back to why the wife is in subjection to the husband. Yeah. Nobody wanted to hear me anyway. I knew I should have brought my recorder in, too. All right. As I said, hope you all had a good week. I posted a picture that I took of my house, and it was all snow and everything. I says, I can't believe it. I woke up to this morning. And I didn't get any reaction yet, but I'm sure I will. Hope you all had a good week. And prayer requests, we'll get to those. Those are so important to us. Before I forget, I've got a couple. Maggie in Scotland, she's, I don't know what, cell mast or something, mast cell. Whatever it is, a disease. She's having a lot of problems with that, along with other things, and she asked that we pray about that. So I'll bring that before you too. And if the Holy Spirit calls that to mind, just pray for her. She goes through a lot, not just that, but other things too. and we'll start. Anything, prayer request?
Pray for my kids.
Okay. We'll sure do that.
Just continue, like I said, Tim, pray for his children, pray for us. Pray for Teresa. She's, you know, getting back to working again. Trying to make the right decision about what to do. And just help her to pray. And, I just want to thank God for just having a good week.
Amen.
Amen. Catching that big old
car. Yeah. Thrill. all right.
Good. God's good.
Okay. Ben, finally.
Yeah, I've got a driving trip coming up. Just pray that my back and shoulder and knee hold up for the long drive and safety.
Ah, a young man like you should be no problems at all. And we'll pray for that. Robin needs to check her friends who she hangs around with every once in a while. So, all right, Rick, Judy. Okay.
And David Roth had the intestines, 8 inches up, taken out his intestines. He's doing great. He's back home now. So he said we appreciate everybody praying.
All right. We'll keep that in prayer. Junior, Jane, everything okay? We'll continue to pray for them. Terry. All right. Jimmy? Okay. Jimmy, anything?
My sister, she said, neck surgery.
Okay. Anything here? You're all set?
Back issues. I've got an appointment with a surgeon next Tuesday.
Okay. We'll sure pray about that. Yep. Prayer request over there. All set? You're right with the Lord? Okay.
Remember Ernie?
Yes, Ernie. He'll call me or I'll call him, and he seems to be doing okay, but you never know.
He got banned from Facebook again.
He got?
Banned from Facebook.
Oh, yeah, he told me that. He tells me I keep pushing it, he says, because the stuff I put on there. But it's a challenge. I enjoy it, you know. I like getting good information out there. And it's a hobby of mine. And not that I agitate or aggravate people, because I'm not like that. I'm a good boy. Everybody knows I'm a good boy. They hear that from me, and they've heard it since I was probably 16. So I'm sure they get tired of it, but that's too bad. I'm a good boy. But anyway.
Carolyn Beam had surgery on her leg. She had to have that blood clot removed.
Okay, yes. Preacher called about that, and what else was there? Oh, pray for Jim and the family for the service Tuesday. And if you can make it, I'm sure he'd appreciate the support. And I think that should cover it. Danny, you've been skipping out on us, giving some of those old men over there some wisdom over from the Bible. So how about praying for us?
Lord God, we just thank you so much for the privilege of coming to church. I can't understand how people can see coming to church as a burden or a job or there's so much that church adds to our life, Father. The teaching, the fellowship, the camaraderie that we've established over the years and even short times. But Father, more than anything else, we've come to learn about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've heard all these prayer requests, some of them vocalized, a lot of them whispered from the heart. But Father, we just turned over these things to you and ask it and know that your will be done. And it'll be right, Father, whatever you decide to do. We just pray for the family that have lost Miss Phyllis. But we know where she is.
Yes.
We have no problems about that. We have a wonderful little lady. Father, there's so many other people in our church that are hurting and desperate. And we just offer them up to you too. So we ask for your continued blessings on John, that he prepares this so diligently for this hour. And please, Father, help us to gain from what you've given him. And all things, Father, let us be found in your perfect will. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. All right. Of course, Genesis. We're in chapter 4. I think I gave you all the outlines. We'll just review a short bit, and what I like to do is give you the doctrinal application of what's going on within whatever we're covering, and then cover the practical application that would go for us. And we were looking at the Cain and Abel and the offerings that they brought. And I think, you know, it's so simple. You can just break it down into 5 minutes and say that's it. But there's a lot more in depth that you can cover. And that's what I try to do without getting too boring. So we started with the Hebrews 11:4, where by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And Cain's, as I covered last week, was a good offering, but not for that purpose that they brought the offering for. So you had the two offerings, verses 1 through 4, and they brought it because of a sense of guilt And we've seen that in Romans 1, 18 and 19. And then Romans also, Romans 2, 15. And Romans 3, 10 through 23 showed us familiar verses that there's none righteous, so neither one of them were righteous in God's eyes. So they had to bring an offering to remedy their position. And it should have been an offering of blood as God commanded Adam. And apparently, from what I get out of the scriptures, Adam should have instructed his boys and his wife on what's what. But either if God spoke to them or Adam was to instruct them, something that Cain didn't listen to. Cain wanted to do things on his own. He wanted the glory from it. He wanted to show that look what I did, works, comes down to. And you go to Genesis 4, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to throw something out here now to spark your thought process. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again she bare Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And then it goes on in the process of time that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought the firstlings of the flocks. Did you notice anything in verse 1? And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2, here it is. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now, what's missing there? She conceived, bare Cain. It doesn't say she conceived the second time. Now, could it be, and we'll cover this a little more later on, could it be that they were twins? Okay? And as we get into this, some of you are going to say, this guy's nuts. So we'll go on from there. And Hebrews 9 tells us that all things by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, no remission. And it comes down to faith. Faith, we showed you last week, means a reliance, a trust. It's something you can't touch, you can't see, but God said it, so I believe it. That's what faith is, believing what you can't see, and it covers that in Hebrews. There was a realization of their need of acceptance before God, and there was a proper way to be accepted, and it was to bring a blood sacrifice. And then we seen the two offerings, Cain's offering. Of course, it was a product of the ground. And you know, back in Genesis verse 3, I think it, or 3:17, that God cursed the ground. He cursed is the ground. For thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And it's still going on. We're still eating the products from the ground. And you think of what's grown, potatoes, tomatoes, corn, all that stuff. You still have to grow it. And people are still sweating by the brow, is it? Or by the face? People get that messed up. They say, well, by the sweat of your brow. It's not the sweat of your brow, it's the sweat of your face. There's a lot more work involved when your whole face is sweating. But again, there's a couple of us in here, Danny may be one, where we don't sweat, we're gentlemen, we perspire. I told one of the people at boot camp, we had a couple of rough workouts, and it was hot. And I had the towel there, and I'm wiping. She says, "Boy, you sure sweat today." I says, "No." I says, "I don't sweat. I'm a gentleman. I perspire." And she about fell on the floor laughing. But anyway, you had the two offerings. The product from the ground works. And you know, by the works, you're not going to get anywhere. Galatians 3:10, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Okay, so practically for us, if we're not following what the Bible says in every area of our life, then we're going to reap what we sow. But back then, they didn't have the Word of God written down. They had the spoken Word of God, which is one and the same. Okay? The written Word, the spoken Word, one and the same. And if they didn't apply that to their lives, then they suffered the results of that. They reaped what they sowed. And you've seen that right from when Cain brought his offering. And so you see the results of his own labor. You find that for us today in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, verses we're all familiar with or should be familiar with, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So it's not what we do. Galatians 2:16, "Not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." You see these verses in different books, how they all combine together and show you how God wants us to be and what he wants us to do. So it's not just taking one verse out of context and applying it. It's comparing scripture with scripture as we're supposed to do. And then in Romans 10, 1 through 4, verse 3 says, "And they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness," and you see that today. So many groups, so many people try to establish their own righteousness. You see the JWs, they go door to door, they do it all the time. They're persistent, they're consistent, and that's what we need in our lives, persistence and consistency in everything that we do if we want to accomplish anything. You want to study the Word of God, you want to learn, you want to grow spiritually, you've got to be persistent and consistent. You can't be a hit and miss thing. You've got to set a time where you sit down, read, and study the book, and then compare scripture with scripture and come up with the result that the Holy Spirit leads you to. Now, I'm not one that says, here's my to-do list. At 9 o'clock, well, wait a minute, a little later. At 10 o'clock, I'm to read my Bible. At 10:30, I'm to read corresponding books. I don't do that because you've got to allow for things to come in that will change your what you want to do. So, but you stay persistent and consistent. You don't let it go, because you let it go once, whatever it is, and the next time it's easier to let it go. So you make sure that you're going to do something and you do it day after day. You don't make it a drudgery. Oh, I got to read my Bible. No, I'm looking forward to what God's going to show me in his Word. I'm excited about that. I want to learn. I want to grow spiritually. And then not by their own righteousness, but to him that worketh not, Romans 4:5, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You want your faith counted for righteousness? You want to be right with God? It's a matter of not working to earn it. It's believing on what the Lord tells you. He can speak to you through his word, okay? That's how the Lord speaks to us. You can listen to other sermons, other studies, and get something from the Lord from those also. And then you apply that to your life so that you become closer to the Lord. And so it's by the faith and by doing what you're supposed to do. So Cain's worship was not of a false god, but it was a false worship of a true God. He didn't worship a false god. He brought the wrong sacrifice to the Lord. So,
John, on that part, I had a different interpretation of it, where it says Abel brought the first thing of his flock in the blood, or the fat. But I think that Cain probably had a good crop, but kept the best for himself and took the cull.
That could be too, knowing how Cain was, because he wanted, but then again, he wanted to be in the limelight. He wanted the glory for what he did. So you may be right there. And it's a possibility, but either way, he was wrong, whether he kept the best for himself or he brought the best to the Lord. And you could be right there, because the Bible doesn't, I don't think it clearly says there. But Abel did bring the firstlings of the flock. And now, I've wondered about that, the firstlings. That's a plural. Is it more than one, or was it one that was all that needed? As far as I know, one is all that was needed to shed that blood, cut his throat, shed the blood. But and the lamb, it was a lamb. How do you know it was a lamb? It doesn't say it was a lamb. Here again, you compare Scripture with Scripture. You find in John chapter 1, John seen Jesus coming unto him, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So, and then there's other verses, I should have marked them down, where it refers to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So we know by comparing Scripture with Scripture that it was a lamb. Oh, when who was going to sacrifice his son on the mountain there? And all of a sudden he's about to bring the dagger down and hold it. There's a ram over there, a ram, a sheep, a lamb. So yeah, the picture that the Bible shows is a lamb. So I'll go with that any day. In 1 Peter it says, you're not redeemed with corruptible things. And then verse 19 in 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So it's got to be a lamb. There's no doubt about it. And then you read other verses, Leviticus 17, where the blood is an atonement for the soul. And Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And then, as we said, it's not the labor of his hands. And that's where people today, as I mentioned earlier, all these cults that are working their way, trying to be earn God's favor by what they do. And Titus 3:5, familiar verses, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And we need to get these verses in our head so that when we're dealing with the lost person, lost people, the Holy Spirit can draw that out, and you can show them that it's not by their own works. So Titus 3:5, and it further says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, to renew it is an act of making new or to bring it again. Now, did you ever stop to think about that verse, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost? If it can be renewed, then it was once there. I hit on this topic before. That's why babies do not, when they're murdered, aborted, do not go to hell, because they are as Adam was before the fall, before they were faced with a sin to make a choice. So that's what the renewing is, reviving that Holy Spirit of God, that when they sinned, it was over with. They were lost. So that's what that is. Some of these things pop out in my to me and interesting to me. And of course, Ephesians 2, 7 through 9, not by works of righteousness, lest we should boast. There it is. Our own works, we can boast about them. Look what I did. I did this for the Lord. I did that for the Lord. Okay, if you're saved, you want to brag on what you do for the Lord at the judgment seat, and this is what I want to do, is help prepare you and me to earn what we can at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why we don't brag on what we do. We allow the Holy Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to get the honor and the glory. Step back. It doesn't matter, because it'll all come out in the wash one day. And I don't want my why you did what you did to be burned up. I don't want it for my glory in this age, in this life. I want it to go through the fire and come out as refining gold, silver, precious stones. That's what I want. That's where I want to have my glory before the Lord, is why I did what I did for him, and go from there. So Romans 4 says, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace. So forget the grace part if you want to claim your own works. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. So our righteousness can come without the works. Now, to the natural eye, there is no beauty in it. Isaiah 53:3 says, he is despised, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. How'd you like to live that type of life, to be that holy, that righteous, where people despised you? I'm sure you had some friends that when you got saved and they started seeing you live for the Lord, they walked away from you. You didn't have to reject them. They rejected you. Slowly, you see them walk away. And many times when there's an abrupt change, people see that in your life. And all of a sudden, you don't have all those friends around you anymore. And it's an experience, and you wonder, what's going on? And then you get into the Word more, and you find out. The more you become like Christ, the less your friends are going to hang around you. and they're not going to be your friends. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Now, that I don't want in my life. That's why I say you better be careful, and I'm preaching to myself, what goes into your eyes, what you allow before you, and what you allow in your ears, because they go into the brain. The brain is that computer that God gave us. And as I've said before, there's no delete button on there. You remember things from years ago, as I do in my own life. And it's a shame at times that we can't get rid of them. And all we can do is ask the Lord, "Lord, take that away from me, please. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to ponder on that." So be careful. And then 1 Corinthians 1, 19 through 30, we won't read all those, but there's a lot in there. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." So we need to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ in order for us to have wisdom. Wisdom, knowledge is a gathering of facts. Wisdom is the application of those facts. Now, that we want to gather all the facts we can from the Word of God, properly divided, rightly divided in its proper context, so that the wisdom, the application, God can show us how to use that knowledge. And then it was offered in faith as far as Abel goes. Hebrews 1:4, as we read, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." And Hebrews 11:6 again says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him." So you want to please the Lord, you want the blessings of the Lord, you need that faith, the faith which comes by hearing the Word of God and then applying it to our lives. We've got to do that if we want the blessings in our lives. And then Galatians chapter 3, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness." So we're to believe God's word. It's not, you know, some, even you think they're solid Christians, will be listening to some of these so-called prophets on TV. And they're only going to lead you away, because God's not speaking through them. They're what they're telling us, and I don't advise watching them, but if you're solid in the Word and you're well-grounded, then watch it once in a while and see exactly how they waver away from what the Word of God teaches. But don't do it unless you're well-grounded, because you can be taken away from the truth. So be careful who you watch, who you listen to, and make sure that they're Bible-believing, dispensational Christians when you listen to them. Well, that limits me. Yeah, better limit you to the right things. That's what it does. Galatians 3, 6 and 7, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." So we find it over and over, believing God and applying it to our lives will lead us into the righteousness. Romans 5, 1, "Therefore, being justified," justified is being vindicated, being made acceptable. So if, how are we done? How do we get justified? It says, by faith. And by faith we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I emphasize this over and over. Each one of us that are born again should have the peace of God in our lives. Not, we got peace with God. We're no longer an enemy of God when we got born again. Our sins are gone. We're in the family of God. We're part of the church. We're part of the bride of Christ. Now, let's live like we are. By having the peace of God means that we can go through anything in our lives and we have the peace about it. It's some situations, you know, some people can handle more than others can. I understand that. People will say, well, God will not put more on you than you can handle. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. Because God will use things to have you grow spiritually. It's not, if that were the case, then we could go through life with a la-di-da, just skipping along. God's not going to put more on me than I can handle, and I can't handle anything. But that's not how it is. Don't believe that. God, sometimes you're in rebellion against God about certain things, and God will allow things into your life to bring you to a point where you will do His will. Or else, you know, you can get involved in sin, you can go down. And in Timothy, it says that He'll sear your conscience. And if that ever happens, you're done. You're done as a Christian. You didn't lose your salvation, but your testimony will be destroyed. You have no idea what will happen to your family, your loved ones, as a result of you allowing your conscience to be seared and become involved in the sins that we were involved in the past, and even go down further. That's what happens when your conscience is seared. Because you know what your conscience is. Your conscience is the thing that's in your mind that says, you shouldn't do that, don't do that. When you have no conscience, then you do what you want. You enjoy what you want. You get deeper and deeper in sin. And then you have the two results. Cain was, his offering was refused by God. Hebrews 6, 7, and 8. He tried to reason. You know, Isaiah 1:18, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ezekiel 33:11 says, turn ye from your evil ways. Good verses to have in our mind when temptation comes our way. Turn ye from your evil ways. And of course, he was rejected by God. Proverbs 1:24 through 31. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. You think God doesn't laugh at people when they get so involved in sin? I'm not talking about saved people now. The application for us is today is the lost people. You may even know some people that you've witnessed to, you prayed for. Other people have witnessed to them, and they continually reject the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. End result, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock at, when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that the Lord hateth knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They rejected him, turned away from him. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. So that's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to laugh at your the calamity. Now, doctrinally, where is this? This is probably tribulation time. Okay, practically, for us today, if the Lord's dealing with us, we know something from the Word of God that we should be doing and we're not, and we continually reject it, the application can be how the Lord looks at us and what we're going to reap what we sow. So we need to be careful, need to be very careful. Are we doing as the Lord would have us to do? Now, in a few minutes. He slew his brother. Okay, 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now, did you catch that? Cain, who was of that wicked one, what does that mean? Does it mean he was just influenced by Satan? Or was he fathered by Satan? You are of your mother and father. What does that mean? That means that they conceived you. So I hate to leave you this way, but we read in Scripture where Satan has a seed. Who is that seed? What is that seed? Could it be that Cain and Abel were twins? Medically, and I checked with my medical expert before class, and twins can be fathered by two different men within a time period. So I'll leave you with that. I'm not saying doctrinally this is what it is, but give you something to think about. And what I want you to do, I want you to, if you're interested, I want you to go to YouTube and check out Gene Kim. Gene Kim is a Bible believer on the West Coast, and it's titled Before the Fall, Adam Had Other Children. And it was from May 23rd, 2021. It'll be an eye-opener for you. It'll give you things to think about. And I'm not saying he doesn't take a position doctrinally on that, but he's got some good stuff. Okay, let's pray. Father, I just pray now that you take what was said, use it for your honor and glory. I know there's things in there that'll provoke some thought. Hopefully, Lord, it'll be that we get into the book and read and study and learn more so that we can be your servants, bring honor and glory to you, and present the gospel message to the lost world as we're supposed to. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.